God's been good, hasn't he? The weather we've had and the week, you know, the Thanksgiving week and just a marvelous week. I mean, good grief. I can't believe, you know, we were out yesterday and it's like 80 degrees, you know, on November 25th in the high desert or whatever it was. And I'm like, man, you know, but nice. And but the weather is turning and winter's coming, and we have a lot to be thankful for. And that's, you know, this week, you know, we had our service last week, which, you know, many tell me it was the greatest message I ever preached because I didn't speak. you know, you guys spoke, and it was great. You know, a lot of testimonies of just what God had done in your life. And, you know, and there was some tearful ones and some joyous ones. And, you know, and it's good to praise God and it's good to be thankful. And it's just something that, you know, unfortunately is lacking in our culture today, is just the spirit of thankfulness. And so we have Psalm 100 and, you know, just a psalm just written out of a thankful heart to a good God. And we need to acknowledge him. And I think a lot of times we acknowledge him almost subconsciously. I mean, I think every Christian, you know, there's a God, you know, he's here and he's done lots of things on our behalf and those kind of things. But we kind of live our lives many times kind of not cognizant of that, just kind of we get into our routines. You know, this week has totally been out of routine for us. We've had family down and we've been doing a lot of things we don't normally do and those kind of things. But then you get back to the routine and sometimes it just seems like we go day and then day and then the day and then bam, you know, Sunday we start thinking about God again and then, you know, day and then day, you know, working or doing the things that we do, our normal things. And this psalm is just it's a little short 5-verse song that has psalm that has so much in it. And let's just look at it. Shout triumphantly to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Acknowledge that Yahweh is God. He made us and we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for Yahweh is good and his love is eternal. His faithfulness endures through all generations. And we see, you know, the initial two verses, it's the Lord's call. The Lord's call. He's calling us. You know, he's been calling people from the beginning. In the beginning, he had Adam and Eve, and they sinned, and they fell away from God, and God called after them. You know, he went after them and told them there's going to be a Messiah. There's going to be a seed that's going to come that's going to crush the serpent's head. That was the prophecy. And he's been calling people ever since. And he's calling us to do some things. He's calling us to shout triumphantly. Shout triumphantly. Do you understand that you're a winner? You are a victor. You are an overcomer. I mean, even in the midst of the trials that we have, and even what we would call failures, we are more than victorious because of what Jesus Christ did. And when you accepted his sacrifice on your behalf, you became victorious. Through his power, through his work on the cross, you became, and we are triumphant. And we should kind of act that way, that we are winners. We're not beaten down. We're not losers. Those of us that have Christ are winners. We are triumphant through him. Through his work, not our work, his work is what gives us that victory. The Lord won the victory for the whole world. And Every man, woman, and child has the ability to make a choice. And when you make the choice to accept Christ, you become the victor through Him. When you reject Him, you become a loser. You lose. But we are triumphant. And it says all the earth. All, in some versions, it says all nations. Everyone. Jesus came for everyone. He paid the price for every sin. And we should act like winners. We should be triumphant, even in the midst of our hard times. I don't know about you, but it's easy to get down. It's easy to let circumstances and situations in your life kind of weigh you down, and you kind of forget, hey, I am triumphant. Bible in another place says we are more than conquerors. Our faces ought to reflect that no matter what. No matter what's going on. Shout triumphantly. Serve gladly. You know, the Lord is worthy. So serve the Lord with gladness. Because of what He did for us, our response ought to be, what can I do for You, Lord? You did everything for me when I was doing nothing for You. But now that I have You, You have given me the power through the Holy Spirit to actually serve You. And we should be happy. We should be glad that we can serve Him for whatever that may look like in your life. Because it's different for everybody. But in your world, in your sphere of influence, how do you serve God? And do you do it with gladness in your heart? We should serve gladly, for He is worthy. He's worthy of our service. Now, you know, in reality, what can you really do for God? I mean, think about it. I mean, what can you really do for God? You know, the only thing you can really do is give Him your will. That's one thing that is ours. He gives us free will. And we choose on a daily basis, sometimes on a minutely basis, whether we're going to do His will or our will. And we can choose His will. And we should serve Him gladly, for He is worthy. We should sing joyfully. Come before Him with joyful songs. Is there a song in your heart? I hope there is. You know, even in the hard times, praise song or something be on your lips. Because that's where it's at. It's not in the circumstances of this world. The Lord has, you know, being a child of God has benefits. Do you understand that? You know, read Psalm 103 sometime. You know, just a couple psalms over. You know, all His benefits. It benefits us greatly to be His children. Now, it doesn't exempt us from the fallout of a sinful and fallen world, but it has benefits. I mean, there are people that when they have troubles, they got nowhere to go. They got to handle it themselves. They got no hope. They just have this kind of a fleeting hope that things will work out. Where we can have a confident hope, knowing that things will work out, whether it's in this world or the next, it will work out. We can have that confidence, because that's what hope. Biblical hope is not like, oh, I hope. Biblical hope is, I am confident that this is going to be, that the Lord is going to take care of it. He's going to make it right in His way, in His time, and that I will get through this. We can have that in the midst of turmoil. We can sing joyfully. Sing joyfully. Come before Him with joyful songs. You know, I often think, when we do our praise and worship songs, are you singing to Him? Or are you just reading words? You know, sometimes we just get in this, you know, some of these songs, we know them. They're familiar. And we sing out of our memory, kind of. And we kind of forget, I think, what we're really saying. You know, that last song that they did, you know, I'm coming home. You know, I mean, I'm coming home. You know, I'm coming home. You know, there's going to be a day I'm going to be there. I'm going to gaze on the face of Jesus, and it's all going to be good. And you know, the pain, the turmoils are going to be over. It's a good thing. We of all people should sing joyfully. And you know, and it's funny. You know, I have to laugh. You know, I mean, Harvey's up there working, man, to get you guys to clap. You know, I mean, he's up there too. You know, and you're kind of like, you know, man, we should be excited of all people, full of joy, full of excitement, full of thankfulness, just because we got everything to gain, nothing to lose. This world is so temporary. Your situation, although it may seem long and hard, because, you know, to us, time is long, it seems sometimes. Just, I mean, I know it's short, and the older you get, the shorter it is. I mean, it's just amazing. You ever think about that when you're a kid? Summer vacation seemed like it lasted forever. I mean, it was like, wow, what am I going to do with all this time till, you know, geez, school doesn't start till September. Back then, when I went to school, it started in September. You know, it's like, man, you know, we just laid around, so we ran out of stuff to do. Now it's like, just the other day, you know, Lou says, can you believe it? It's going to be Christmas in 24 days, you know, or whatever it was, however many days it's going to be, 30 days. And it's like, man, you know, it just flies by. This life is short. Eternity's forever. And you got to keep that in perspective. You can be joyful. Yes, there's people here that have been battling things for years and years and years. Just situations in their life, health situations, money situations, all kinds of things that we'd rather not go through. Family situations, relationship situations. But it is short, folks. It seems long and hard, but it is short. And are you going to waste your life being down? Take the time you have and rejoice. Because if you're a child of the King, you have much to be rejoicing for. Because this little time frame that we're in right now is going to be over soon. And then you'll be with God forever. You know, redeem the time, the Bible tells us. You know, don't waste the time that you have. Go for it. And live it joyfully. Live above your circumstances. God enables you to do that. He's given you His Spirit. The Spirit of God resides within you. You can live above your circumstances. Enjoy. Verse 3, we have the Lord's sovereignty. Acknowledge that Yahweh is God. He is God. You know, the Lord wants us to acknowledge that He is God. And actually, these four things that I have under here, we have troubles with this. We tend to know in our mind, mentally, intellectually, that God is there and that He is God. But it seems like we tend to live as if we are God. And that has been the battle from the beginning. You know, make no mistake about it. Adam and Eve in the garden, when they were tempted of Satan, what did he say? Hey, God doesn't want you to eat of this fruit. Why? Because if you eat it, you're going to be just like Him. You think about that. You're going to be just like Him. And they went for it. And you know what? That has been mankind's problem ever since. We're all trying to call all the shots in our life. We're trying to be like God. And, you know, some days we do better than others. Some days we're all humble and, you know, yes, Lord, you know, you're my leader, you're my guide, you are God. But then other days we kind of take over, don't we? We take the wheel. He is God. He is God. Isaiah 46 says, remember what happened long ago, for I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and no one is like me. You know, there is no other God. There is no other way. There's no other creator. He is God. You know what's interesting is God never tries to prove his own existence. You read the Bible. He simply states it. I am God. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. How do you know he's God? If you've accepted Christ your Savior, you know he's there. There's just something about it. Paul calls it a mystery. Can't explain it. If you're not a believer, I can't tell you what that's like. I can just say it's real. But until you experience it for yourself, you don't know. But there's something about God, the living God of the universe, residing within your frame. And there's nothing like it. He is God. There is no one like him. There's a lot of false gods out there. There's a lot of man-made gods out there. I was reading a passage also in Isaiah. It might have been somewhere around that chapter there. But God's like mocking them. He says, look at your gods. You're worshiping these gods that you made with your own hands, and now you're stuck. You stuck them in your saddlebags, and you're carrying them across the desert because your God can't even get from point A to point B by himself. I mean, it's funny when you read it. It's like, but you know how... how different are we? I mean, we start worshiping a bunch of stuff too. Not per se we're bowing down to it, but there's things that we can let in our lives that are kind of controlling our life, and they really are inanimate things. They are not things that amount to anything, really. We're good at hanging on to stuff. I remember a dear lady that, she was a believer, but boy, she had some materialistic tendencies. And she had this crib, or a baby bed of sorts. And this lady's was in her 90s, and she had this baby bed. It was beautiful. It was the baby. It was, I think, the bed that her mom had given her, you know, that was her bed when she was born. And she knew that my wife was, you know, the director of the Rosa Sharon Crisis Pregnancy Center. She goes, I kind of like her to have that bed because there's babies there. And she goes, would she take it? I go, yeah. Well, you know, there's a lot of these young ladies that they find themselves in this position. They need help. They need stuff. You know, we give them that. Oh, no, you know, she wanted to control it. Oh, no, you can't give it to anybody. And so we never took it. We never got it. And then one day she died. And guess what? Her kids just came and just sold everything out. You know, so it went somewhere she probably wouldn't have approved of anyway. We hold on to stuff. That, in a way, that little bed was her God. It was controlling her. She knew she needed, in her heart, she wanted to help somebody, but at the same time, she couldn't let it go. It was a big thing in her life. And it actually got between her and God, in a sense. You know, there's things in our lives we can let that happen. You know, things can get between us and God. We can start making our decisions based on these things in our life rather than what God would have us do. He is God. We have the true God. And you know, many do not. And that's really sad. There are people out there that don't recognize that there is a God. And when you think about it, when you take the supernatural out and you're left with the natural, this is all they have. This is all they have. There's nothing to look forward to. It's just this life is all I got, and I got to live it the way I want because I'm going to get to a point where I can't live that life anymore, and then I'm going to die. So I've really got to go after this life. And I've seen people like that, and they are some of the most miserable people I've ever seen, it because you never get enough. You know, there's always something more. You're never satisfied. There's no contentment. There's no peace. It's just all about the next thing. There's no looking forward to anything because there's going to come a point. You know, why is all this euthanasia and all these things, you know, suicides are up and all that? Because when people get, if you don't have anything beyond yourself, well, then when things get really bad, well, you know, okay. Might as well end it. I know that's harsh, but that's where people are coming from. And it's just really sad that the number one cause of death of kids between like 15 and 20 is suicide. It's sad because they have nothing. You know, we got a generation coming up that's denying God and they got nothing more to live for than what's going on here in this life. And you know, let me tell you, this life can get you down if that's all you got. If you don't have some grander thing to look forward to, yeah, why not? It's sad. He is God, and there is no other. We need to acknowledge that, but we also need to acknowledge that He is Creator. He is Creator. It says, acknowledge that Yahweh is God. He made us. And I know, and I think in the King James it says, and not we ourselves. And I find that interesting because, you know, it's kind of our worldly theology, if you want to call it that, is, you know, we just evolved, you know, and here we are, and, you know, it's all big accident. No, He's Creator. And, you know, the number one reason why people don't want to acknowledge that He's Creator, because if He's Creator, that gives Him authority. You know, when I make something, if I make something in my garage and put that thing together and it was my materials that I bought, my tools that I made it with, and I make this thing, that's mine, and I can do with it what I want. It serves me. It, you know, I can do with it what I want. I have authority over it. And a lot of people, they don't want to acknowledge that they were created. Because why? Because that infers, it insinuates, it proclaims, really, that God has authority in your life. And if God has authority in your life, then guess what? You're going to have to answer to that God one day. Now, praise the Lord for Jesus Christ that, you know what? I am not going to answer to Him for my sin anymore because Jesus paid the price for it. I'm not going to be judged by that. And if you've made that profession of faith, you won't be judged by it either. And praise God for that. But He is our Creator. We didn't make ourselves. We aren't an accident. You are not an accident. You know, get a hold of that. You've heard me say this before. You are valuable. No matter what your situation is, no matter what your supposed handicap is, or whatever it may be, you are valuable. You have worth. The Creator placed so much worth on you. Do you understand that? We need to live like that. It really leads us into the third one, which is He's our owner. He is our owner. We belong to Him. It says Yahweh is God. He made us, and what? We are His. We are His. We belong to Him. We belong to Him. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, you are not your own. You were bought with a price. We belong to the living God. And He paid for us with the blood of His Son. Purchased you. Don't you think you are not worth something? God sacrificed his son for you. He placed so much value on you. So much value on you. He considered you so valuable that he sent his son to die for you. You think about that. We belong to him. He bought us. But, you know, it's a good thing to belong to the living God because, you know what? He's our provider. You know, when my kids were young and living in the house, they belonged to me. And they still do, but not the same way. But, you know, when your kids are there, you provide for them. And, you know, I worked a lot of hours, you know, to provide for my kids, and my kids work and they try to provide for their families. That, you know, that's how it goes. But God is our provider. He is our provider. It says we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Think about a pasture for a cow. You know, when we were in New Mexico, we had a neighbor. His name was Leonard. He had this big ranch there and had all these cows on there. And you know, there was food there. Leonard provided food. He had alfalfa fields, and he would, you know, harvest his alfalfa. And you know, bale it up and everything, and then it'd be there for the cows and the horse. He had some horses, and you know, they would feed those cows. There was safety in that pasture. There was a fence around it. Sometimes I remember one time, you know, he was our music leader, and a cow fell in the ditch. One of his cows fell in the ditch, and so like here we come for church and everything, and we're like, where's Leonard? You know, where's Leonard? And oh, he's, you know, his cow fell in a ditch. So he had his backhoe out there, you know, trying to, you know, lift that cow out of there, because I didn't know this, but like if cows get stuck like that, they can just die. They, you know, just, and I didn't know that till I lived out there. So it's important. You can't wait till after the service to go rescue your cow. You got to get him now or you're going to have a dead cow. And so he's out there with his backhoe, you know, and whatever. But the point is, we are the sheep of his pasture. And that pasture provides you with food. It provides you with safety and protection. You know, the barbed wire around there, it not only keeps them in, but it keeps other things out and all that. And, you know, God does that in our lives. He provides for us. He protects us. Now, you may say, well, some things happened to me. You know, I don't feel like I was protected. Well, bad things do happen. We do live in this world. And we sometimes it's not of our choice, but a lot of bad things that have happened to me were of my choice. You know, we choose to do things, place ourselves in certain situations. But the bottom line is, through all those situations, God is not unaware. He knows what you're going through. He's using that situation in your life to make you more like Jesus. And you always got to remember that. Remember what his job is, so to speak. He proclaimed it. He says, I'm going to conform you to the image of my son. And so these things that come into your life, I'm going to use them to make you look like my son. And it may be painful. It may be hard. But it's all in the plan to make you more like Jesus. And if you keep that perspective, it helps you deal with what you're dealing with, whatever it may be. We tend to start focusing on the deal instead of what the purpose of it is. Now, God does not bring everything in our life. I think a lot of times we blame Satan, or we can blame God. But I found that there's really four sources of things. I mean, yes, God can bring things in our life. And he absolutely does, I'm sure, from time to time, to for our benefit, to grow us, to help us. Satan definitely is our adversary, and he attacks, and he wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy your family, your children, you know, whoever he can get a hold of. That's what he does, and don't take him lightly. But we tend to go there like, oh, why did God let this happen? Or why did Satan? How about you? The choice you made could bring that in. And sometimes it's just the choice someone else makes that affects you. All those things come into our life. But God, listen, he allows, you know, what does the Bible say? Jesus said it. You reap what you sow. So when you do something, there's going to be a circumstance going to come from it. It could be a good circumstance, could be a bad one. But something's going to come of your decision or of someone else's decision, and you're going to reap that. He doesn't intervene on every little thing and make it all right. What he tells you is in the end it will be all right. And as we go through that thing, God will come in. And he'll take that situation, that circumstance, that area in your life, and he will use it to glorify himself and to make you more like Jesus. And perhaps to expand the kingdom. All those things God will use. But that doesn't mean he caused it. You know, and so many people blame God for this or that or whatever. Listen, whatever comes your way, try to look at it through spiritual eyes and understand that God is going to use that for your benefit in some way. And it's more than just about you. And see, that's where we get into trouble. We think it's all about us. It's not. When he provides you with something, there's a bigger picture involved. You know, I've seen people that get sick, and, you know, none of us wants to be sick. And I know there's some people with some serious illnesses, serious situations in their life. And none of that, no one's saying that's fun or good or anything like that. But we tend to focus on our situation, and we kind of forget God wants to use that situation to affect your children or the doctor that's working on you or the nurse or the acquaintance or the person that's involved in that situation. And how we respond means everything to how God can use it. If we respond in a pity party, well, if I'm a lost person and I see a Christian in a pity party, I'm just going to say, well, I handle stuff better than them. What do I need God for? But when you see a person going through a horrible thing and they are just rising above it, not of their own power, but because of the power that works within them, the world looks at that and goes, wow, what is it that you have? How can you have that joy? How can you be like that in the midst of your circumstance? See, the world doesn't understand that. But it opens an opportunity to share exactly why you can be that way. Because of the God that lives within you and what he has done for you. He provides everything. He provides everything. The Lord's worthiness, verse 4. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Listen, God owes us nothing. Don't you even think God owes you anything. He does not. When he sacrificed his son on the cross, that was enough. He provided you with everything you'll ever need right there. Now, is he a loving God, a faithful God, a good God? Yes, and just like you bless your children when they were, you know, there, and you help them and you do things for them. Why? Because you love them. But not because you owed it to them. You know, I didn't owe my kids anything. I brought them into this world. You know, my wife did. I watched. But, you know, they came into the world And we do the things that are right for them, hopefully. But did I owe them? And God does not owe us. He created us in His image. He gave us an opportunity to have a relationship with Him through His Son. And He doesn't owe us anything. But He does love us. And because of that, we should be full of thanks and praise. And I have thanks and praise on there because and it's interesting, He says it twice. Enter His gates with thanksgiving, His courts with praise. And then He turns right around in the same verse. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. He is worthy of our praise. He is worthy of a thankful spirit on our part. He's worthy because He's done everything for us. You know, if somebody sacrificed their son for you, if they showed that they loved you so much they sacrificed their son for you, would you ever really doubt how they felt about you? I mean, really? I mean, you would know, even if they never did another thing, you would know they loved you by what they did. And our God has done that and so much more. I mean, He wanted us to know Him so much He gave us His Word. He revealed Himself to us through His Word. He didn't have to do that. He didn't do it for Abraham. Think about it. Abraham didn't have His Word. Did He love Abraham? You better believe it. But we are blessed. We know what God thinks about whatever situation. We know what He thinks. We know about Him. You know, if He hadn't told us about Himself, we wouldn't know anything about Him. He had to reveal Himself to us. How do we know He's faithful and merciful and just and holy? How do we know that? Told us in His Word. He wants us to know Him. Do you get that? He wants you to know Him better. And because of that, we should be thankful. We should be full of praise. Because He's worthy of all that and more. And the psalmist ends with His attributes. I mean, okay, why should we thank Him? Why should we praise Him? Well, we praise and thank the Lord because, number one, the Lord's good. For Yahweh is good. He's good. And you know what's interesting? Him being good, hear me, you know, because I hope I can explain this. His goodness has nothing to do with us or our situations. In other words, if we're in a trial and if something bad happens in our life, that does not change the fact that God is good. He's good. And I know in this church, a lot of times I'll say, God is good, and you'll say, all the time, right? I mean, that's that little thing that happens all the time. And He is. But His goodness is not based on our particular state at any given time, whether we're in a good moment or a very trying moment or a very hard moment or whatever. That doesn't change the fact that God is good. He is good independent of us. He is good. And some people say, well, God's not good. Look at disease and war and children being abused and all the stuff that goes on in this world. That doesn't change the fact that God is good. He is good. That's an attribute of God's. And you know what does the Bible say about us? There is none good. No, not one. So is there any surprise there's all this stuff going on in the world? Because nobody's good. But God is good. Don't ever doubt that. Regardless of what's going on, do not doubt that God is good. He is. The Lord's love and mercy never end. Another great attribute of God. In some of your translations, it may say his mercy is forever. In my particular one, it says his love is eternal. Well, it's interesting when you look up the word that's translated there, it's the same word. It translates love and it can translate mercy. So I just stuck them both up there, love and mercy. His love has no limit. His mercy never ends. He's a merciful God. You know what mercy is? You've heard me say it. It's not getting what you deserve. That's mercy. Not getting what you deserve. You deserve 10 years and the judge has mercy on you, maybe gives you 3. Okay? You didn't get what you deserve. 10, you got 3. We deserve hell and we get life. That's God's mercy. And it's forever, folks. Doesn't go away. You accept Christ as your Savior, you reap that benefit forever. And his love never ends. Because what? God is love. He describes himself as love in his word. And God is eternal, so his love is eternal. His love and his mercy, there is no limit to it. And I praise God for that. I praise him for who he is. I know how would you be if you love somebody and they just kept disobeying you. You try to show them what's the right way to go and they just can't, every time they just do it their way. I mean, after a while, I'm done with you, man. You ain't listening to me. Just go make your way and maybe you'll hit rock bottom, then maybe you'll listen to me. But you know, God never does that. He loves you no matter what. He loves you. Now he'll let you reap what you sow. But his love is still there. He still cares for you. No matter how far you get from him, he cares. He loves you. Don't ever forget that. Then lastly, his truth and faithfulness never fail. His faithfulness endures through all generations. Another version may say truth. And again, it's one of those words that can be translated truth or faithfulness. And I like them both. So I put them in there because it is true. His truth never fails. What's his truth? This right here. This word. It never fails. It's right. And his faithfulness never fails. That's something I pray every Sunday morning before, I disappear, during the singing. That's because I'm praying. And I'm always ask God every time. I say, Lord, I need you to be faithful to me today because I can't talk to these people unless you come through. And he is faithful every single time. Whether I'm speaking here or if I'm in a counseling session or I'm at some other place or doing whatever, God is faithful. He is faithful. And his truth is always relevant. Some people will say, oh, that book was written, 2,000 years ago. Some of it 3,000 years ago or 4,000 years ago. That's for that culture and that time. No. If you're thinking that, don't you believe it. God never changes. Truth does not change. What's right 2,000 years ago is right today. What is wrong 2,000 years ago is wrong today. Doesn't change. People change. Technology changes. Our way of thinking changes. But God does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ, right? Doesn't change. I find that very comforting. I find that so comforting that I don't have to wake up and try and figure out what side of the bed God got up on today. Those of you who have been married a while, see, I don't even have to say it. You already know, right? Some days are better than others, aren't they? Some days everybody gets up on the right side of the bed and it's all good. And other days, not so good, huh? And maybe you wake up and you're like, okay, I wonder what kind of mood she's going to be in or he's going to be in today. A lot of smiles out there. But you know what's cool about God? You never got to wonder that. He doesn't change. He's consistent. He's faithful. He's full of truth. There is no darkness in him. I love that, you know, in John chapter 1. He is light, and in him, and there is no darkness in him. That's awesome. We have an awesome God. Now, if you weren't here last week to hear that girl's testimony, man, you missed it. Gee. Think of that every time I see her now. I just think, man. You know, trust God. Trust His Word. Do what you know to be right, even if it doesn't make sense, even if you think you'll be taken advantage of, even if however people will twist it, you do what's right. God honors His Word, folks. He honors His Word. Do what's right. And you will benefit in some way. He will use it in your life to make you more like Jesus. Christians are truly blessed. Truly are. We should have a spirit of thankfulness to our Lord each and every day, regardless of circumstances or situations. Because you know why? Those things are temporary. They're temporary. It's not going to be that way forever. You know, you think of Helen Keller, born blind and deaf, born. And her whole life, she lived a pretty long time. I don't remember how old she lived to be, but decades, right? And, but you know what? She sees now. She hears now. She can praise God now, and she sees Jesus face to face. You know, and when Ann Sullivan finally broke through and communicated, and she communicated God to Helen Keller. And you know what Helen Keller said back? I always knew there was God. I just didn't know His name. She knew. She just didn't know His name was Jesus. That's all. And although her condition was her whole life in darkness and silence, that's temporary. It was just temporary. We are blessed. She was a blessed woman. And we are blessed people. When you know the Lord, you're blessed, folks. Understand that. What God has done benefits us forever. What God has done. And what has He done? He gave His Son for your sin and mine, that we could live victoriously on this earth and serve Him with joy and gladness and sing praises to Him and share that love of God with other people and just serve God. It benefits us forever. So be thankful. Just be thankful. We tend to focus so much on what we don't have or what's not right or what's broken. You know what? Sit down and take stock of what is right, what isn't broken. Maybe tomorrow, in the morning when you do your devotion, I hope you do a devotion, or in the evening whenever it is you do it, maybe take a piece of paper and sit down, and instead of, because I don't know about you, but I get into those things. When I'm praying to God, I'm like, okay, God, help this person. You know, there's these things are wrong, and here's this going on in my life. I wish You'd fix that. And, but, you know, and hey, and those are all things, you know, God says take everything to Him. Okay, so I do. Okay? But how about sit down and write some things that are good? Some things that are right with your life. Things that you're blessed with. And, you know, and don't overlook the obvious. You actually made it here today. You know, there's people that couldn't. There's a blessing right there. You know, I was thinking yesterday, you know, my wife has asthma, you know, you all know, and I'm out hiking with some of my family up in the mountains there going up, and I was thinking, you know, I am really blessed because, you know, my wife will never be able to come up here unless we carry her. And I don't think she'd enjoy that either. But just the ability to do that, to have the ability to walk up a hill for, we went 6.5 miles. So it was 3.5 up, 3.5 down. Okay, so. But it was like, I had the ability to do that. What a blessing. And then along the way we stopped, and there's a couple of deer there. That was cool. Hadn't seen deer in a while. So that was cool. What a blessing. And then you get up at the top and somebody had planted this little green Christmas tree about this tall, right in the middle of all this brown and everything. And I mean, you come up around the curve and there it was, man. You're like, whoa, walk over there. What a blessing. You know? Little stuff. Little stuff. But important stuff. Because God loves you, and he gave you a good day, gave you sunshine, gave you lungs that can breathe. And no matter how bad your health is, you still have health because you're alive and you can praise, you can worship, you can sing, you can still do a lot of things. Be thankful. Maybe sit down and just write things down. And then, instead of going over your list of all that's broken in your life and how you want God to fix it, maybe go over all the good stuff and just thank Him for it. What a breath of fresh air for God, huh? Amen. That's why I like last week. You know, people just praising God. I think God was pleased with what we did last week. What did we do? We just gave testimonies to His greatness, to His provision, to His name, and we sang praise songs to Him for like an hour and a half. And you know what? It was good. It's a good thing to praise the living God. There may be someone here today, you may not even know what I'm talking about because you have never made the move to enter into a relationship with the living God. He's made the move towards you. He sent His Son to die for you, to pay the price for your sin, but you've never gone to Him and asked Him to forgive you. You've never thanked Him for sending Christ. You've never asked Him to send Jesus into your heart. You've never done that. You have no reason to be thankful to God because you don't even know who God is, maybe. You've just been doing it your way. Well, maybe you need to look at your life and go, wow. Maybe you need to start trusting the true God. It's as simple as the Bible says, confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and God raised Him from the dead and you shall be saved. His grace saves you through your faith in Jesus Christ. And all He asks is that you admit you're a sinner and ask Him to forgive you. It's a pretty good deal, folks. You get eternal life for simply accepting the truth of what God's already done for you. Pretty good deal. There may be someone here that has never done that. If you haven't, I hope, I pray that you will make that decision today. It's the most important decision you'll ever make in your life. It will give your life meaning and purpose and give you hope. For the rest of us, I really only got one question I want you to ponder. Do you have a spirit of thankfulness, regardless of your situation? Regardless of whatever it is, that thorn in the flesh, so to speak, whatever it might be, do you have that spirit of thankfulness? Are you thankful? We can have every head bowed, every eye closed. I just want to give people freedom to be real. Is there anybody here that would say, Brother Mike, I've never made right with God. I've never asked Him to forgive me. I've never trusted in Jesus to be my Savior. I've never done that. I don't even know what, really understand what you're even talking about, because I just don't have that understanding. Is there anybody like that? I've never done that. Just slip your hand up. I just want to pray for you. I'm inviting you into a relationship with Him, but you got to admit it. For the rest of us, how many would say, Brother Mike, I do tend to focus on myself a bit much, and I need to have a little bit more thankfulness in my heart. Anybody like that? Just slip your hand out. Need some more thankfulness. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Maybe you say, Brother Mike, I just tend to take some of these good things in my life for granted. I don't even think about that God enabled me to do that. Anybody like that? I just kind of take some things for granted. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Heavenly Father, Lord God, help us to not take You for granted. Help us, Lord, to praise You and be thankful for You and all that You do in our life. Help us to set aside our circumstances and situations and focus on You, Lord. For You are the provider. You are the owner, the creator. You are God. And You are worthy of our thanks and our praise. Help us, Lord, to be ever mindful of what You are doing in our lives, that we would be more like Jesus, that we would reflect Your light to a dark world. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As Kathy plays and prays, this is your time. You deal with God. If He's brought something to your mind, or that's not an accident, you need to make it so with Him, whatever it is. Take your time. Get real with God. Let Him work in your life. Father, Lord God, we do thank You for Your word that reveals all to us that You would have us know. Help us, Lord, to trust in it, to trust in You, Lord. To move the knowledge in our minds and move it to our hearts, Lord, where we will act on that knowledge that You are faithful and that You are praiseworthy and that we owe You everything. Lord, may we live triumphantly. May we serve You gladly and sing joyfully because of what You have done. Help us always in the midst of our lives, Lord, to remember You and Your faithfulness and truth. Thank You, Lord, for what You've done in our lives. Thank You, Lord, for Jesus Christ. And it's in His name we pray. Amen.